Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Back to pass, looking right, going deep for Waddle. Coverage is there, and is it picked off? Yes, picked off by Cole Bishop. The safety in coverage. What a couple of weeks for the second-year safety. A takeaway for Buffalo. Looking right, now left, going deep down the sideline for Coleman. Back shoulder complete, reaches for the pylon. He's in for the touchdown. Keon Coleman with a huge touchdown grab. Tua back to pass, heaves it deep down the middle of the field looking for Waddle, and it's intercepted by Maxwell Hairston. He's up on his feet to the 25, to the 30. Flag on the play, and he's tripped up at the 38-yard line.
I think Joe Kelly's trying to make people feel a little better this morning, that's all. Playing all good stuff, all highlights, right?
Maybe a bit.
Hey, that's all right. There's nothing wrong with that on a Buffalo football Monday. We need something to pick us up a little bit today, right? How about the fact that like people are off tomorrow from work or school, maybe, right? That could be. You have a one day, then you have off, right? It's like taking my son into school this morning, and I'm like, you only have to go to school today, then you have off tomorrow, basically. Like, yeah. Oh, okay. I'm like, well, then you got to go back for 3 days. He's like, and then it's Thanksgiving. I'm like, no, it's for a couple weeks from now. Right? It's all good. Joe Kelly producing right there. Those are calls from the Buffalo Bills Radio Network, courtesy of the Buffalo Bills Radio Network here on WGR. And Chris Brown on the calls right there. Cole Bishop interception. Keon Coleman touchdown. Maxwell Hairston interception as well. But few and far between actual highlights from the game yesterday, 30-13. The Bills lose to the Miami Dolphins. We're going to talk about it here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Let me get everything out of the way early here, all right, because it is a Buffalo football Monday. We got a lot to get to, a lot to say, and a lot of calls. But of course, every Buffalo football Monday is presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. And by Northtown Hyundai, Western New York's premium Hyundai dealership. Shop online at northtownhyundai.com. We will get to sit up, stand down, hey buddy, way later in the show. First big chunk of the show, especially the first full hour. It's about your calls after I give you some thoughts on what happened in South Florida yesterday. 803-0550 is the number to call. I'm just going to say this today, like, you call, you talk today. Like, that, you know, we do it every week anyway, and you're always really great about it, and we get a lot of great calls, and I had a lot of people texting me last night saying, I can't believe it. You're going to take these calls. Good luck tomorrow. All these calls. No, you guys are great on Monday. Win or lose, I've enjoyed I've enjoyed the space we've created here on a Monday to talk about the team and the game and the organization, whatever. And it doesn't mean we have to agree all the time. We can debate, we can discuss, but you know, my job here is to give you the forum, give you the platform. And I always say this, as long as you're respectful and you do it the right way, you can call up and, you know, what we try not to do is just, oh my God, you know, Towering Infernos, you know, versus Super Bowl parades, right? I mean, there's always a space in between. But I think Towering Infernos today probably is what you're, and what I mean by that is like, you're hot and you want fire and brimstone and you want people fired, you want changes and all that. And I get it. And you want to call up and talk about that today, you can do that. You know, but let's try to get to a good spot of, you know, moving forward and what needs to happen, because this football team is in danger right now. They're in danger. And if you want to talk about it on the phone lines, we got it. Or if you want to join us on the YouTube and Twitch stream, we can do that as well. And hello to the bullpen, as always, on a Monday. Thank you very much for joining us at the WGR 550 YouTube page. Got a lot of people in there. Black Cloud, AC, James, Steven, Vlad, Tony, Dan, Chudley. Thank you very much. Nick, D-Baz. So I just want to say hi. Darius, all of you. Thank you so much for coming aboard. We've got a great community there. If you want to join in the chat, if you don't want to call, you just want to get in there, we can do that as well. Okay. 30-13. If you would have told me the score of the game, the Buffalo Bills against the Miami Dolphins, was going to be 30-13, I would have said, absolutely, that makes total sense to me. Bills are going to go to Miami. They're going to crush a 2-7 football team that just fired their general manager. They're kind of playing out the season. They have their quarterback calling people out and players-only meetings, and the head coach seems like he's kind of lost at press conferences. This team is, they're a rudderless ship. They're going nowhere. The Bills are going to go put their foot down. They're going to stop them 30-13. I'll even say this, okay? If you told me the Dolphins would score the first 13 points of the game and the final score would be 30-13, I might actually think the Bills would score 30 straight points and come back and win. That's how confident I would be that the Buffalo Bills would crush the Miami Dolphins on a Sunday afternoon in sunny, hot South Florida. It's not what happened. It's not what happened at all. From the jump, we heard this from players in the locker room, and this is a big issue. Deion Dawkins, Josh Allen, Daquan Jones, Spencer Brown, several players in some form or another said they wanted it more, they played harder than us. Folks, that's unacceptable. It is unacceptable. You can't have that. And I'm actually glad that they said it out loud, because when it comes from your own locker room, when it comes from the leaders on your team, it should mean more to how you to respond. It should be, that should be personal to you, to every person in that locker room, including the guys who said it, right? It wasn't even if the Miami Dolphins played harder than the Buffalo Bills, even if the Miami Dolphins wanted it more than the Buffalo Bills, which is terrible to say and think about, and oh my God, I can't believe that in that situation. Even if that's the case, the Buffalo Bills should have still beaten the Miami Dolphins and what they had on the field, talent-wise. And they didn't do that. And they came home, and I did, after a sunny 80-degree day, getting on that airplane, and then walking off the plane with the snow and the wind flying at you. And I didn't know. Joe Callie, I did not know I was supposed to put my wipers up so it wasn't a freeze on my windshield when I got back to the airport. But that's what I'm like, why didn't I know that? I couldn't believe it.
It happens sometimes. It wasn't supposed to snow as much as it has.
Right.
So I do not fault you on that.
So you're like, I'm like 4 hours after the game, it's 80 degrees, get on the plane, come back here, snow, just fall in, be careful getting off the ice and walk in, get to the car, and I'm like, oh my God, I should have put the wipers up. And that's adding insult to injury, I guess, right? To think about the state of mind that you're in.
Oh yeah. I don't know how you kept it together. I would have been in shambles if that happened to me.
Well, I'm trying to keep it together today. That's why I want to hear from you. But, folks, seriously, even if that were the case, the Miami Dolphins played a little harder. They played harder. They wanted it more, whatever. You're still the Buffalo Bills. You have Josh Allen. You're the number one rushing team in the league. They're one of the worst rushing defenses in the league. They are depleted in the secondary. They're giving up big time, you know, yards per play against the pass. Just go do your thing anyway. And then you walk away from it and go, you know what? We didn't play our best football, but we still won the game. Didn't happen. Now, I'll be the first. I know. I've said this many times, and it's true. And I hope you understand. Like, it is tough. It is tough to always, for 17 straight games, be the most energetic, up for every game, amped up, whatever, on a 1 year basis. And then you go year to year and you win, and you win championships, division championships, you get to the playoffs every year, have the success, you get like the success fatigue where it kind of doesn't matter. What do they say about the Chiefs? Well, they only care about the postseason, right? You have this conversation in Kansas City probably a lot. I get all that. But in this situation against that team, that can't happen. It just can't happen. And then if it does happen, you still have enough talent to win, but they didn't. Why? Let's talk about the X's and O's, all right? I'm looking at the official game book right now. Oh, you know what? I can do this on the camera, on the stream. I can show you, actually. This is the official game book. There you go, okay? If you're looking on the stream, this is the offense and defense, starting offense, starting defense. This is what we get after the game they put out there that you can find online, too, by the way. But I'm looking at this for a specific example. On defense, the Miami Dolphins started four down linemen and three linebackers. Okay? There you go. Oh, and you want to zoom in again? I'll show you what I mean. Just so I can get an idea so people can see. There we go. They started four down linemen and three linebackers. We call that a base defense. Okay. Why am I pointing that out to you? Because right when the game started, okay, I asked Spencer Brown, did the Miami Dolphins do anything different? He said, you don't first play the game, they come out in base, not in nickel. I said, okay, and I'm thinking about that. The Miami Dolphins made a conscious decision in this game to say, we are going to take away what the Buffalo Bills do best. And what the Bills do best is not throw the ball with MVP Josh Allen. What they do the best is run the ball with James Cook. And the Miami Dolphins said, we are going to do whatever we can to make sure you cannot run the ball, because we're not really afraid of you throwing it on us. Three linebackers, not nickel, not an extra defensive back. In what universe am I living in where the game plan against the Buffalo Bills offense is to force Josh Allen to beat you? And it's not a Josh Allen point. He could be better. He hasn't been great. This passing game is struggling big time. He had the most time to throw in his career yesterday, according to Next Gen Advanced Stats. Now, a lot of that is because he scrambled around a couple of plays, and that bakes into that, but overall. And it still was a struggle to get guys open downfield, for guys to get open downfield. You know, you could tell me all you want. This is on Joe Brady. I'm here for it. That's fine. Everybody deserves blame. Sean McDermott and his staff deserve blame for them not, you know, being ready and prepared. But again, I think that they generally do a very good job of, on a week-to-week basis, being prepared in each game as its own entity. But this week was not that, right? So you can go there. You can blame Joe Brady all you want. That's fine. Scheme this, scheme that. I've said multiple times this morning, I just recorded a podcast, and I said this earlier on with Jeremy, and I'm going to say it again here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I am the worst artist in the world. Like, I draw stick figures, okay? Like, literally, if you said, could you draw this? No, I can't do it. I draw stick figures. You could give me and bring to me an incredible painter, an incredible artist, I should say, a teacher, an art teacher, to work with me on a weekly basis. And I don't even think I'm going to get much better. It's just, at some point, as much as you can blame or want to point at Joe Brady, that's fine. It is his job to scheme open. It is the people he is trying to scheme open that have to do it. Right? So it's all baked in there. And then it's up to the quarterback to trust that, to pull the trigger when those guys are open. And all of that is happening. It's not one thing. Defense had a couple struggles yesterday, no doubt, especially late in the game. They were gassed. I'm putting this one more on the offense, even though the defense did give up. Max Harrison got beat by Jalen Waddle deep. He gets beat by Waddle a little bit later. Yes, he had an interception. I do like the way the secondary's come together. Cole Bishop with another, you know, interception, but they gave up a couple big plays. The run game gave up a couple big plays. But you are not in that position if the offense does their job early. Okay, get to my last point here about
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
All of this, all right? And the roster and the team and where they are. And then I'll get to your phone calls, I promise. I just told you the blueprint is out on the Bills, right? Which is, I think, take away James Cook, dare the passing game to beat us, and they can't do it. I'm also going to say this, and this is on the heels of it. The Buffalo Bills are not built to be able to play a game of catch-up. They're not built to play a game of chase. And Sean McDermott was right when he said that yesterday. He said after the game, we had to chase the game. Yeah, they can't play chase. Do you know what happened against Kansas City? They scored first. They scored early. Kansas City came down, I think, was it a tie game maybe? Either way, the Bills were never not at least in control of that game in some respect. They were in control. Miami was in control of this game. The Bills can't play a game where they aren't in control. They were not really in control against Baltimore until they got a couple breaks go their way late in the game, and then they made their points, and they did what they had to do late in the game, and that was nice. And you could say, oh, there it is. And Joe Brady said, hey, we can throw it when we need to throw it. And that happened, all right? But generally, like, this team is not built to do that. They have to control the game. That's why they try to run the ball the way they do. They try to run the ball so they can control the game. And then score by doing that and throwing it when they need to in those situations. And you're getting good down and distance, which they didn't do because first and second down was not good. And they can't. They can't play like that. If the Buccaneers come here next week and they're up 10-0 early, that's a really, really, really bad news for the Bills. In years past, I wouldn't think it as much. If the Bills get up 10-0, it's really good news because they can play by controlling the game. That's what they can do. But they have to do that. They have to be in that position and put themselves in that position. And you don't put yourself in that position when you punt early on fourth down and think that, okay, we'll just play a defensive game and then things come right down and they score. You don't do that when you fumble the ball away, when you throw the ball to the other team. They couldn't. 803-0550 is the number to call here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, I spoke for about 16 minutes here. Greg in North Carolina is up first. Hi, Greg. Go ahead. You're on WGR.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Really appreciate it on a sad Mafia day. I don't think I felt this bad since the 13-second game, but the today's the 50th anniversary of the sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald. I feel like I'm on that ship. But to get to my point, probably I'm barking up the wrong tree looking for excuses, but all these soft tissue injuries which have been a real drag on our team all year long, how much of that you think falls on the training staff? I mean, these guys are not only supposed to help get the guys recovering from injuries, they're supposed to prepare them for the games and the season. And it just seems like all these soft tissue injuries are something that could have been prevented with the right kind of training, and whether it's preseason, whether the collective bargaining agreement doesn't allow you to have as much practice as you used to. So I'm just curious what your thoughts are on that.
Well, obviously, it is an issue, Greg, and it's not, and they're not shying away from it. Sean McDermott had, I asked Sean McDermott this, I don't know if you were listening Friday. I specifically asked him this question on Friday on this radio show, and he said it's something that they're looking at and they have to turn over every stone. He addressed it yesterday. You want to ask me how much is on the training staff? Well, obviously, they're the people in charge of that, but again, take care of your body is the right way in the offseason as well before you get back. That could be part of it. I don't know the answer to your specific question, but I agree that it's an issue. The Bills believe it's an issue. Sean McDermott has recognized it's an issue, and they'll have to look at it. And I don't know if there's an answer right now, to be quite honest, and I'm sorry for that. Let's go to Sean, who is in Long Island. Hi, Sean.
Hey, Sal. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good.
All right. So I just have 3 points. If you can just bear with me, I won't be too long here.
Okay.
Number one is, when you take a look at what goes on in the field, I've been saying this for a while, you know, anytime things are not going well and Josh has that dejected kind of puppy dog look, goes to the end of the bench, sits down, looks at the tablet, talks to the quarterback coach, talks to Trubisky. It's just, man, it was so obvious when Diggs was around. I guess we took it for granted a bit that he was a little bit of the pot stir that was, now that we look back on, needed. I don't think there's anybody on this roster right now, or at least on the offensive side of the ball, that really offers that. I don't know what the answer is for this year to solve that, but for next year, I don't know if it's a player. Maybe it's Daboll coming back and drawing up a passing game again that was conducive to Josh's skill set. I don't think Daboll's going to be with the Giants next year. Maybe that's a fit for us next year. He's also, AK, you know, fiery, if you will, and urgent, and maybe he'll light up the players that he doesn't think are given it their all. We need more out of that. We need more leadership out of Josh. And I don't mean just getting in people's faces, but it's just, I'm tired of that 1,000-yard stare. That's number one. Number two is, I don't think that Bean deserves any sort of credit or any sort of kudos for the effort for the Dolphins or Jets trades. You got to be smarter than that. Anybody that doesn't even work in the front offices of the NFL understands that trading within division is going to be very difficult. And if you were hanging your hat on or hoping that was going to work out, it just didn't make any sense. It's not my job to then tell you, oh, well, what else would he have done? That's his job. Find a match. Start the process earlier in the season so that you're not scrambling at the end to maybe, you know, have to throw a Hail Mary at the Dolphins to try to pry away Waddle. So to me, that's an issue. And then third and foremost, possibly the most alarming, is that I think we do overrate this roster. I know they're banged up a bit and stuff, but the contracts that he's given out to pretty average players at an above-average rate as far as their pay is concerned, and the missing of draft picks has really come to a head this year. And my main concern is that this is now the beginning of a 2 to 3 year period where these multiple holes, linebacker, defensive line still, most prominently wide receiver, there's multiple holes in each of those position groups that need to be filled. We're going to have guys leaving next year, guys coming in. We're also going to be in a place, too, where I don't think, you know, the way Josh is playing and everything and the way this season is kind of playing out, it doesn't look like it's that destination anymore. New England looks to be that destination now, the top young QB, the great coach. And you're going to have to maybe overpay somebody to come in here. And that's my fear. You had Josh for a bit where you had some guys like Sanders and Beasley, some other Von signed for a big contract. You had players that said, "Oh, a chance to play with Josh. You know, maybe I'll come a little bit on the cheap there. Great opportunity." Now, you know, we don't have that clout any longer, and you know, Bean is really should be very much on the hot seat for the construction of the roster. I give him a lot of credit for what he did back in 2017, turning the roster over. and getting the picks to acquire Josh, and then building the roster with Diggs, Beasley, Brown. That was a he did build a good team there, and that was our shot, I feel like.
Yeah, shot. I got you, buddy. I want to run, okay? I got a lot of calls on the line. I appreciate your 3 points. I got them all. Thank you so much. No, I appreciate it. Good stuff there. Good talk, and I appreciate you laying that all out. Let's go to Steve in Virginia. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Hey, so a quick shout-out. Today's the 250th Marine Corps birthday. Just want to say happy birthday to any fellow Marines out there listening today.
Are you a Marine?
Yes, I am.
Well, thank you for your service. Thank you for your service.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
You got it.
Just wanted to questions about the use of Elijah Moore and Curtis Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, I know Elijah Moore had over 60 catches, I believe 61. And the year previous, he had over 50, I believe 57. And Curtis Samuel, the 2 years with Washington, he had over 60 catches. I'm just curious, is Brady not using these guys right? Because, I mean, I looked it up last night. I don't think either guy has 10 receptions, you know, at all each. And we keep hearing about how Curtis Samuel has 4.3 speed. I'm like, are they not being used properly? Why aren't we getting more?
It's a good question. Let me look at the snap counts from yesterday again. And if you look at it, wide receiver-wise, hold on, let me give you wide receivers. Khalil Shakir on the field, 45 snaps. Keon Coleman, 42 snaps. Then you get down to Moore at 25, and Shavers at 24, and Samuel at 24. So they're on the field for 35% of the snaps each. It's a good question. I don't know the exact answer, Steve. I'll go back to what I said earlier. Like, you can... you know, you have certain players with certain skill sets. You can draw up stuff for them. They also have to have the ability to get open. And I think it's always a lot of chicken and egg. So I don't have the answer for you there. You're just as frustrated as a lot of fans, and I appreciate that, and thank you. John is up next. Hi, John.
Hey, Sal, how you doing?
I'm all right. Could be better today, though, on a Monday, for sure.
Oh, yeah, I'm right there with you.
Okay, buddy.
Got a lot of points about the game itself, but I think just because of time, I'll jump to like my main point, which is going to be the hardest one to hear. But, you know, at the end of the day, the Bills are and always have been a poorly run organization. And you look at like the Chiefs or the Rams, and they're drafting well, adding the proper pieces. Or you look at the Patriots, built on winning, won a lot of championships. Now they're running for the one seed. And when Diggs left, and you look at that draft class, his frustration kind of came out. They never got a solid number two guy behind him, right? You had like Jackson Smith and Jimba, Jordan Addison, Marvin Mims, Rashee Rice. Some of these guys were taken 20 and beyond as far as the pick number, even second round, and just not drafting well enough to keep that roster together. And when they had the success that they had during that time, they didn't know how to progress and direct the team. And now you're kind of falling back. And that's really the main point of that. Their history. I mean, they haven't won anything since 1965. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I don't agree that they are just always a poorly run team. They won five straight division championships, and Kansas City Chiefs have missed on plenty of draft picks lately. Even there's whispers that, you know, Xavier Worthy isn't like. So I don't want to go there. But no, if you want to make the point that they missed on draft picks, sure, that's fair. I don't want to. They've always been a poorly run franchise. It's just not true. You could be upset now and go back at some of the contracts, and all those things are like, you know, kind of own entities that you can point to. I get, but they haven't always been a poorly run franchise. They've actually been a very well run franchise, I think, over the last better part of the last, you know, 7-8 years, to be honest with you. But no, it doesn't mean you have to win championships, and it doesn't have to equate to good or bad run franchises. I understand that. You know, Kansas City's had their misses too, plenty of them. I don't know. I think the New England Patriots have been a terribly run franchise for like 4 years now, or since Bill Belichick left, I guess, and even before that, maybe. And now they're finally starting to get their footing again because they found a quarterback. So either way, thanks a lot for the call. Mike in Denver. Hi, Mike.
Yes, hello. I wanted to talk mainly about two things, and that is the, first of all, is the missed tackles on defense. It reared its ugly head yesterday again. I know the Kansas City game was fairly good when it came to, you know, one-on-one tackling. But if you go back even earlier this season, I remember hearing this about missed tackles, you know, like after the Baltimore game, for instance. And so that's one thing I noticed. I guess Achan had like 110, 111 yards, something after contact. And so that's the first thing I've noticed. And then the second thing is, did it ever occur to Joe Brady that somebody just might take away our second best weapon in James? I just can't imagine how an offensive coordinator couldn't imagine a scenario where the opposing team is going to take away your second best, you know, option on offense. I mean, can he ever come up with something other than a wide receiver screen and an over the shoulder pass down the sideline, and you know, maybe a 7 or 8 yard pass to a tight end like Kincaid? I mean, those things seem to be our three bread and butter plays. And, you know, can you run some bunch formations? I mean, they never run a bunch formation where they can get Samuel or Moore open, and I think that that would help. Thank you.
You got it. I'll go back to what I said earlier. I just don't know if you can do that and still rely on them to get open. I mean, maybe. I'm up for anything, though, to be honest with you, Mike. I mean, you know, I think they imagine that scenario. James Cook gets stopped, and what's your alternative? You have Josh freaking Allen. You know, and he threw the ball 40 times. He had 310 yards, but... is anybody to say that that was a really good passing day? Of course not, right? So no, I'm all for whatever you want to draw up, design, and send into the offices to help out. I just don't know if you have the people to do it, to be honest with you. 803-0550. Good start to the program. Half hour in, taking your calls. 803-0550. We'll do more of it on the other side on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Monday here on WGR.
Off to Achan, looking to cut it back, gets through a hole and into the secondary, still loose, and he's going to go the distance. Max Hairston trying to track him down, trips him up, but he's into the end zone for a 59-yard touchdown run, and that'll put this one to bed.
Listen up, football fans, you won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contract. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it.
Are you playing me off?
That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one.
You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews all on the app. Download today.
Devon Achan. Oof. Run defense again yesterday. Big numbers put up on them. And really was, they were not terrible until the very end when they gave up runs. I mean, numbers-wise, and Miami was doing some nice things, but 6.2 yards of carry they wind up with, courtesy of Achan's 174 yards on the ground. I do rankings every Tuesday. Here's where the Bills fall in the rankings after that week. And folks, they're always cumulative. Like, after this many games is where they fall, not like just specifically that week. And it's going to look bad again. It does every week because the run defense, it started off that way after Baltimore. It's just been bad all year, and it's going to fall even further. Let's go to Adam in New Jersey, firing the phone lines back up. Hi, Adam.
Hey, Sal, how are you?
I'm all right. Then I'm talking to you. Have better days, though.
I got two quick points. I promise I'm going to get through them. I want to start with Joe Brady. The offense is completely lifeless. It's the same recycled plays every week. No tempo, no creativity. I shouldn't be able to sit on my couch and call out the next plays before the snap. And that's and you know what the crazy part is? A couple weeks ago, he said he's not worried about the passing offense. And I know, Sal, you were bringing up your parallel with your painting. Yeah, or you're not a good artist.
I'm terrible. Yes. Yeah. The analogy. Yes. Yes.
I always say it's players, not the scheme, but I know that's what you said, but let me explain this, Sal. When MBS was here last year, he did nothing, got cut, goes to New Orleans, scores two big touchdowns and long bombs in his first week there. So I know that's a very small sample size. So that tells me that it's not so much the personnel, it's the play caller. And let me ask you something.
What did he do after that? What did he do after that?
Well,
No. Wait, what do you do after that? Let's be honest here. Yeah, he had a nice game that week. Guys have come here to have nice games, but it doesn't. He's also been without a job since then. But go ahead.
Okay, let me ask you something, Sal.
Okay,
you could appreciate this because you're a sideline reporter. Being on the sideline as opposed to being up in the press box is a different feel of the game. Why doesn't this guy come down to the sideline to call plays like Ben Johnson, Mike McDaniel did when they were OCs, instead of hiding upstairs being detached from the game? You know that it's a different feel up there from down there. You have a frustrated quarterback and a frustrated offense. Why can't you come downstairs and have a feel of the game? Why can't you? I want to know why.
Well, he can. Can you slow down? Okay. Can you take a breath and slow down and I can answer your questions?
Sorry.
All right. That's okay. Sorry. It's all good. You said you had two quick points and then like you're just, it's okay. All right. So listen, I know you're frustrated.
I'm
I get
upset.
It. I know, but let me explain. You're not going to like my answer, but I'm going to tell you why. Okay. Because here's the thing, Adam, just like you used my analogy and said, well, this guy did this and look at that. I'm going to use, Adam, just go back throughout history. There's been plenty of great coordinators who've been on the sidelines. There's been plenty of great coordinators who've been up top. There's been plenty of great, you know, play callers in the sidelines. There's been championships. There's no one right way. And I don't disagree with you that you can get a different feel on the sidelines. You know what? You also have a lot of distractions on the sidelines because I am down there.
Oh, stop.
Okay. Like I said, you don't care. Okay. I got it. So I'm lying, I guess. It's all good. All right, Adam. All right. Have a great day. Let's go to Billy in Toronto. Hi, Billy. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, yes.
He didn't want to hear what I had to say, but hey, that's what we do here. I was trying to at least give him an answer. He didn't have to like it. I told him that. But listen. Joe Brady could come down anytime he wants. And maybe he does that next week. If you think that's... Wait, hold on one second, Billy. If Adam thinks that's what's holding the Bills offense back, so be it. I don't think they have the right people, you know, playing wide receiver getting open. I don't know if Joe Brady coming down on the sidelines is going to change that. Maybe Adam's right. Maybe that's the secret to the success. But I've been around football long enough to also tell you, I've seen it done both ways. I've seen it fail both ways. I've seen it succeed both ways. There's a lot of things happening on the sidelines. There's also a stale environment in the radio booth. In the coach's booth that can allow you to see things more clearly. It's just personal preference. That's all it is. That's all it is. Personal preference to how you want to see the game. And maybe Adam could call me next week because maybe Joe Brady will be on the field next week and they'll score 45 points. He'll say, Sal, I was right. And that's cool. Adam, you can call back and do that. I was just trying to tell you why they do and you didn't want to hear it. So let's go, Billy. What's up?
Yeah, that's the least of our problems. Anyway, Sal, very simply put, I think I got the remedy of how we're going to win the Super Bowl. We just got to pray that we don't play New Orleans, Carolina, or Miami in the playoffs because – I'm not disappointed with when we play the good teams. We're there. We've beaten Baltimore. We've beaten Kansas City. Was this game bad? Yeah, it was real bad. But listen, it's just one of many. I know there's so many things that we can work on. But when it comes to playing the good teams, this team shows up. So once again, Sal, I'm not worried. There's only one thing that I didn't like, though, in yesterday's game.
But it's a problem if you don't show up against the lesser teams, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know. But listen, the one thing that I did not like was when we were down 15 in the beginning of the fourth quarter. You know, I still have faith. I still say, you know what, we're going to come back and we're going to run three touchdowns and we're going to win this game. But we didn't. But what I didn't like was, my God, every single play, there was no urgency. I was watching the clock. We were running everything down to 1 second. We were killing 30 seconds off the clock on just about every play. We had to get in the, you know, we had to get to the line of scrimmage and start and making plays. But to sit back there and wait right to the last second, we basically ran off 9-10 minutes. Now I know it didn't make a difference in the end, but man, you got to get desperate when you're down 14.
Yeah, no, I hear you. The sense of urgency didn't seem there, right? Sense of urgency. Yeah. And it started from the get-go when guys said, hey, they were played harder than us or wanted it more. And it's just a bad sign when that happens, right? You just can't. That's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. Chris is in Boston. Hi, Chris.
All righty. Sal, I got to start off with a few shout-outs. First off, shout-out Newhouse Mafia. Second, my guy, he called in a little bit earlier with the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. So a few years ago, I was at that disaster against the Vikings where we, like, fumbled on the one or whatever to end it. And my buddy and I drove all the way back to Rochester with Edmund Fitzgerald playing on loop. And it's just been my disaster song since. So reason I called, a few people said it. You're the sideline guy. Jeremy was talking about this a bunch this morning.
Mm-hmm.
But what type of guy was great. So I'm in Boston. All of a sudden, the Celtics green merchandise that people wear is turning into Patriots blue and right out of the woodwork. I see a lot of Matt Collins. What type of guy was Matt Collins on the sideline? And outside of, like, the money ball, the stats, what did he lose with him? What did he bring that stats can't capture?
I think he brought an element to all, you know, both phases of your game that, you know, three phases, if you want to count, you know, passing game. He was the leading receiver as touchdowns for the Bills last year, even though we would never kind of think of him that way, right? He's not the guy you rely on. He's not your number one target, but he was available and reliable, and that means something. And he blocked his butt off, which means something. And I know people don't want to hear about blocking receivers. I get it, but you're asking me this question. He also was very good in special teams, and he just kind of, he was a guy that kind of did everything you asked of him and was always available and reliable to do all of that. Now, his attitude, incredible. He'd catch a pass. He'd have something to do, the backpack thing. Quirky, interesting personality. Yeah, I mean, look, Matt Collins is not some superstar, but could you make an argument, as you are, Chris, I think, here, saying you miss a personality like that? You miss a guy around like that to kind of uplift everybody? Sure, I think you could make that argument. I'm not going to make the argument, though, that talent, like, can't be replaced. Matt Collins' talent can be replaced and should have been. And it can be, and it is. Like, you're not missing his talent. Could you miss the intangibles he brings? Sure. And you don't have to use a roster spot, an extra guy, because he plays all these different parts for you, right? As a veteran still doing that? It's important. So if that's where you're going with that, I agree. Let's go to Craig. Hi, Craig. You're up next.
Hey, Sal. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Good to talk to you.
Yep.
I really wanted to kind of put to bed this old adage. You don't really hear it too much anymore, but sometimes on the shouting shows that elite quarterbacks will elevate the play of wide receivers around them if they're mediocre. And I think that is just a lazy take, and that needs to be stopped. And I think that this everybody eats mantra is a little bit of a tangent of that. Like, back when Dable was leading the offense, like, he had some amazing receivers. And so I think that there needs to be more of a clear path towards elite level wide receivers. I mean, Brady back in his day, Wes Welker and Julian Edelman and Gronkowski and Hernandez, like, all these amazing guys, and like Hill and Kelce on the Kansas City and, you know, Hollywood Brown and Devontae Adams on the Eagles. Like, this is what wins Super Bowls. And I don't understand why we have not put more emphasis on the wide receiver room. And Keon Coleman was supposed to be that, but I don't, and maybe you can shed some light on this. Like, I don't understand why he was drafted, because his draft profile is what he is. He can't get separation, good at contested catches, but we don't throw him when he's not open, so he can't make those contested catches. So, like, I don't understand what the thought process of drafting him was. And then as far as Brady, I think he's just trying to lean in what works.
Yeah, right.
Kincaid and James Cook. Like, that's what was working. That's it. They can't get open downfield. Josh Allen is running around 5, 6, 7 seconds, can't find anybody. I'm exaggerating there, but like,
no, I get it. No, you're right. I agree with a lot of what you said, Craig. I agree with a lot of what you say. I want to just kind of touch on the point of the wide receivers, your main point here. And it's right. I mean, like, it is something that when you say everybody eats, what you're basically saying is we have a bunch of pass catchers and we have an elite quarterback, so he's going to make them great and they're going to be even better because of it. And they can all do a certain role and they're all at this baseline. And when Brandon Bean comes on WGR and he says after the draft, and we had the viral moment here when on the morning show, and he says you can't have all pros at every position. In some positions you have to kind of, you know, however, whatever phrasing he used, I think that was an indication saying that, right? Like, hey, we don't have the top end paid wide receiver. We don't spend all these incredible resources on him. Because we have good guys, good players, who can do a good job, and an elite quarterback, and that should add up to making up that gap, if that makes sense. That's the way I read the philosophy, right? And that's not wrong, that you can't have all pros at every position. Every team has to make those decisions. There's no way around that. Keon Coleman was drafted in the second round. The Bills obviously infamously, drafted out of that draft spot with the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, at this point, I'm not going to tell you that Kansas City even got a great player in Worthy, because right now he just kind of is what he is, and Keon actually has more yards, I think, in his career. But that being said, who cares about that? What it does tell me, though, they didn't like their options where they were sitting, Craig, right? They didn't like their options. Yeah. Whether that was Worthy or McConkey or Leggett or Keon Coleman, they didn't feel there was a value for anybody sitting there at that point. And I think at least we have to recognize that and say, so they moved down and they took a guy, to me, you asked me why? Well, I think they probably believe he's a great athlete. We can develop him. He's got a big catch radius. We have an elite quarterback. We'll figure it out. And I just think that's it. And for whatever reason, it hasn't gotten to that yet.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, like, if that's the thought process, like, why not trade up? Like, why not go after those guys that are in the top tier? And I know it's expensive. It's expensive.
Well, maybe they tried. I don't know. We don't know that, right? We don't know if they tried to trade up for Brian Thomas or try. You know, I don't want to sound like Brandon Bean. It takes two to tango is true, right? You do have to. We know that now from the reports. I get it, and I do think, Craig, I do think if you believe these reports, which I do, about the Jalen Waddle stuff over the weekend, I do believe that is an indication they will change that philosophy this offseason. And very much so think about allocating more resources to that position. That's the way I believe. And you could say it's too late, and I get it. You could say it's too late. I understand. It is right now. But I do believe that's an indication of a change of philosophy.
Yeah, and I hope he comes back on WGR, especially if Jeremy offers an apology.
Well, I don't know about that specifically, but, you know, we'll still talk to him, no doubt. And he came on during training camp and they talked to him. So, you know, and he'll give his rationale and reasons either way, whether that does happen or not. But I do think that could be a change in philosophy. Okay, we'll take a time out here. I got to get to a break. I got to take more phone calls as well when we come back here on WGR. And we'll do that on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Monday. All right, rolling along here on a Buffalo Football Monday. Ryan is down in Florida. What's going on, Ryan?
Hey, Sal. I got two basic question comments here. Not assuming anything, you're just looking at the facts. There's two guys on New England that we let go from our team because we didn't want them anymore, and Matt Collins and Stephon Diggs. If you go on paper, the weapons that Drake May has, you could argue that ours are better, right? Curtis Samuel, Elijah Moore, Josh Palmer, Kincaid, Knox, to what they have over there. Yet every week, Patriots, Drake May's completing a 50-yard pass to some guy who was either picked up off the street, booty, Diggs off an ACL, Matt Collins that we let walk. So it brings me to, like, kind of this thought, which is we say all this blame on receivers getting open on Brandon Bean, but their guys aren't better than ours. Mm-hmm. So why is it so easy for them? And Drake May has nothing, so why is it so easy for him? And my other second thought is, you know, with Ken Dorsey, he was basically ran out of town because, oh, the Bills don't do any motion. It's all vertical pass plays. They're running these, you know, deep in routes, and we struggle to throw the ball. Comes into town. We had all this motion. We had the heavy package. We had running the ball. We had these quick little yak screen pass plays that we do a lot. But I just feel like we're still in the same spot where it's 3rd and 12, and you have to throw the ball, and it's not a little quick screen to Shakir. I have no confidence in us. And it brings me back to that point, which is like, it's still a struggle. Ken Dorsey, Joe Brady, whatever. It's still a struggle now to convert these like long passing downs. And I don't understand why every team since the Texans game last year hasn't played us this way. Mm-hmm. Sell out against the run against the Bills and make them throw, because we can't throw. It's so hard. It just doesn't look easy. And everyone calls in all the time on this channel, and I'm a very, you know, loyal listener. It's Brandon Bean's fault. It's the roster. Get him a wideout. Drake May has no one. He's dropping 60-yard passes to Mac Hollins. Tell me how it makes sense.
I don't know. It's a good question. I wonder too. I can't watch that. I didn't watch the game yesterday, the Patriots. I'm on the sidelines, and I have to keep up with the games around the league, and I see the same thing, and I'm like, every week this happens, Ryan. I agree with you. It's like, oh my God, he completed another 50-yard pass. Like, what is going on here? It happened against Atlanta. It happened against Bucks yesterday. And I don't know, man. I wish I had the answer for you, Ryan. I appreciate it. Very well laid out. I appreciate your call. Thank you. And I don't know. It's dumbfounding. And I don't disagree with Ryan, by the way, that you could make the argument the Bills do have better weapons than the Patriots on the outside, and receiver-wise and tight end-wise and pass catcher-wise, right? And at the very least, it's not much better if you want to go Patriots. I mean, I just don't think it is at all. But agreed. I don't know that answer, but I see it too. If you're on hold, please stay with us. I got to take a quick timeout. We'll come back. We'll take more of your phone calls on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Monday on WGR. All right. Welcome back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Sal Capaccio with you on a Buffalo Football Monday, presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com, and by Northtown Hyundai, Western New York's premier Hyundai dealership. Shop online at northtownhyundai.com. Okay, we're going to get to more phone calls in a second. I want to get connected with you, our fans, and you can do that by tweeting me as well, which is at Sal Sports. I'm going to read you this tweet, which I think is just off the wall. Calf, who says, I think in all honesty here, he's not trying to troll me or anything. I think this is totally wrong. He says, this is one of your least impressive shows I've ever listened to. Well, at least I've been pretty impressive, I guess. But he says, coming across so defensive to criticism of Bean, Brady, or anyone else. What? I've literally been criticizing them. The only thing I've defended on Brady is I just don't think he has the tools to work to scheme to get these guys open. I have been sitting here for the last hour, Calf, telling you they don't have enough at wide receiver. I've been telling you that. I just told you it was the coach's fault. They weren't ready to play. I don't know what else you want me to do, buddy. So I'm sorry. I just don't think that's right. I think it's the exact opposite. But the main thing is, Cav, I have let everybody here talk and give all their opinions, and that's what I do here. Guy tells me, Joe Brady needs to go downstairs and call plays. Then yes, I'm like, dude, I don't know. Is that going to change anything? That's not defending Joe Brady. It's just reality of it doesn't matter. Just trying to help you out and understand it. I think it's the exact opposite. But hey, if you turn on the show and think that's what I'm going to do, that's your bias. I just wanted to say, I have done my best here today to definitely not do that. Like, literally thought about, dude, this is a show where there's no defending people today. There's like, you got to allow people to call and say what they want. And that's cool. And I've done that today. And I've told you, go read Arrow Up, Arrow Down. I gave an arrow down to Sean McDermott and his staff. I gave an arrow down to Joe Brady. I gave an arrow down to Brandon Bean. All three of them are addressed, Calf. Holy crap. I don't know. Anyway, it's all good. Thank you for listening, though. I do appreciate that. I just think that's amazing to me. Like, what are you listening to if you think that? I've been telling you here for the last hour that no, I don't think it's all in Joe Brady to get guys open, because I don't think they have the right tools to do that. So that is a criticism of the roster, right? But I will tell you that, like, I think, you know, Joe Brady's certainly not perfect, and he didn't have answers. Want me to criticize Joe Brady here for a second? Like, once the Dolphins showed you the blueprint to what they were going to do, he didn't have enough answers right away, early on especially. So you got to have more answers. But saying that I don't care if he's going to come down to the booth and call plays, or not, it's not a defense, it's just reality. It's just like, who cares? Okay, let's get back to what matters here. That matters. I do appreciate the tweet, though. Thank you very much. At Sal Sports. Let's go to Thomas in Niagara Falls. Hi, Thomas. What's going on, man?
Good morning, sir. Don't let these idiots get you discouraged.
Oh, it's
you
not an idiot. I couldn't believe it. Like, it's just like I'm doing my best here to literally just give you, like, what we do here on a Monday is say, hey, here's what's good. Here's what's bad. Let's put it to it. Like, let's try to keep it honest and real, whether that's, right. You know, and I've been sitting here this morning pretty heavily criticizing a lot of things. So to get that tweet just stunned me.
I hear you. It's all good. Listen, my question is, do you think Odell Beckham might have some juice left that we might be able to get him for a tryout? What's your opinion on that?
I don't know. I think that ship might have sailed with him. But, I mean, can you imagine? Here's the thing, what happened, okay?
Uh-huh.
Where is he right now? What is he doing? He's doing nothing, right? I don't think he's...
Nothing, right.
Okay, so I just want to make sure he's not on a team. All right, so... Oh, it says NFL suspends. He has a 6-game suspension, by the way, once he signs with somebody. I didn't realize that.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
No, I'm reading that right now. This is from a month ago. Here's the thing, though, about this, Thomas. Let's say the Bills did that. We'd have 50 people calling and saying, I can't believe you're going to get up all washed up guys anyway. What's he going to do? Like, that would happen, too. So I don't think so. Let's go to Jeff in Buffalo. Hi, Jeff. Hey, Jeff, you're there. Thanks for holding, buddy.
Hey, yeah. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Hey, real quick, I just wanted to point out, Sal, you're doing a great job. But
it's okay. Thank you. It's all good. We're having a good day today. It's all good. I found that tweet a bit stunning to me after the first hour and what we talked about.
Considering the circumstances, it is good. But anyway, first series, they look totally dysfunctional, Miami. Then he throws the pick. Then we don't do anything with that. We go 3-and-out. I looked around and I said, man, what a missed opportunity, and let them back in the game. They go down and score. I'm like, ah. My point is that, and if I could make a point about the defense, I know our offense is struggling, and I think it's route concept myself. You play with the chess pieces you got, and obviously he doesn't. But as far as defense goes, when it comes to Bernard, I've seen him get run over by Henry, which is, Henry's Henry. I've seen him get run over by smaller backs. I've seen him misstep. And when we signed him and he had the great year, and I understand defensive line wasn't in front of him. Our defensive line's all banged up, and that matters. But that's when you put your trench strap on as your linebacker, as your captain, and say, you know what, I'm going to step up. And one more thing, what's Milano doing? Is he, like, protecting that injury? And what's going on there? Because in two games he's been on the field, I haven't heard his name once or twice. Again, back to the offense. You know, if you got the receivers, you know you're not going to run fly patterns. At least work something out where somebody's open in the middle, or at least 12, 13, 14-yard concept where you're not struggling at the – 3rd and 7 all the time.
I think they're trying, though, Jeff. I think they're trying, and it's not. But I'm not telling you that they can't try to do other things different. I'd like to see the running backs more involved in the pass game. I think that's been a big failing this year. Okay, for Calf, here's a Joe Brady criticism for you. Okay, I think the running backs need to be more involved in the pass game, and they haven't been. And actually, yesterday they did get more involved. 4 catches, 40-something yards. You know, that's nice for the running backs. You need more of that. I think they have to be more involved in the pass game. So there's a criticism for you. But the linebackers have been an issue this year as far as, you know, we're not seeing enough splash plays and plays made. And I do think that the D-line in front of them being banged up is a part of that. And when you get people on top of Terrell Bernard, who's a smaller, undersized linebacker, then what you just said and what you described is right. There's no doubt. And I need to see more. I also feel like he's just not the same. Like, there's dealing with something. Or I know he's been on and off the injury report, and I feel like that's been an issue with him this year. Because every time I watch him, it feels like he's not the same. He's not moving the same as I've seen him in the past. But yeah, the linebackers haven't been making the splash kinds of plays we've been accustomed to over the last few years. And I think that there's a lot of reasons for that, right? Injuries have played an issue here with both Milano and Bernard. Defensive line injuries have played an issue with them as well. Either way, yesterday, being on the field for as long as they were, the entire defense, very, very, very difficult to maintain a control of a game when that's happening to you. And that's the offense also putting you in that position. Buffalo Football Monday, every Monday here on WGR, is presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com by Northtown Hyundai, Western New York's premier Hyundai dealership. Shop online at northtownhyundai.com. We are on YouTube and Twitch at WGR 550, so thank you very much for coming aboard. And the bullpen, hello, said hi to a lot of the people in there earlier. Good to see you. Good to talk with you. Give a call if you'd like, or you can comment in there as well in the live chat box. Okay, we have a couple other things we have to get to today, including our Barnes Firm injury report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Gotta feel really, really bad for Landon Jackson, I think, today, and I know I do. But, you know, maybe we get a report that is not as bad as feared, but when you have a knee injury, you're upset like that, and you get declared out immediately, that's never a good sign. And he was. And then after the game, or late in the game, while he was on the sidelines, on crutches with a knee brace. Not good. So the rookie who you thought you might have to count on here down the stretch to really eat up a lot of snaps and develop, probably not going to be available to you. We'll find out more from Sean McDermott when he speaks today at 4 p.m. Dalton Kincaid leaving the game with a hamstring injury. Also, not ideal. He's been pretty much the best part of the passing game this year on the other end of it. When you lose him and you couple it with Josh Palmer, I mean, now you're compounding the issue we've talked about. The Bills were without Josh Palmer. They were without Taron Johnson. They were without Christian Benford. Good news, Daquan Jones came back, but the injuries continue to pile up, and it just seems like whenever you take a step forward, you might take two steps back. We'll get an injury update from Sean McDermott, like I said, a little bit later today when he meets with the media. Let's get to Joe in Rochester. Hi, Joe.
Hey, what's up, Sal?
Hey, buddy.
Ridiculous. So frustrating. I know we all are feeling the same way today, but, dude, like, you take the ball away. You get Bishop taking the ball away on the first drive of the game, okay? You go out on offense, and you go three and out, and what? They're moving to – correct me if I'm wrong. I recall that they were getting – close to or we're in plus territory. So you could, I don't remember. You could check on maybe, but how do you not go for it against this team and make a statement and impose your will on offense and say, hey, you guys have no hope. We're going to jam it down your throat today. We're the Bills. You're the Dolphins. This is our division. And instead you punt. And I feel like over the last few years,
just so you know, they were at their own 34-yard line.
Okay.
They were not in plus territory. No. I agree with you. I would have loved to have seen them go. I think, unless we're looking at the wrong one, I think that's the one, though. Yeah, fourth and one. Third and two, they give it to Cook. He goes for 1 yard. Fourth and one from the Buffalo 34-yard line. Now, I agree with you. In that moment, I'm like, I'm not too worried about the Dolphins today. I'm going to make a statement. So I'm not disagreeing with you, Joe, but I will, at the risk of someone saying I'm defending, I will at least give you a reason. I think the opposite could also be true, where Sean McDermott goes, look, I'm not going to give them an opportunity here to do something and get behind right away. They're not going to threaten me. I'm going to punt the ball away and stop them. And then from there, it did not go very well, right? But that's probably the thinking in that moment.
Understood. Totally understand. I just feel like over the last few seasons, you know, like when Josh first took, you know, turned the corner and our offense was really running on high octane, I think it was, we had Emmanuel Sanders. It was that year. Davis was playing his best football. We had Diggs. And, like, over the last few years, yes, we know receiver's been a problem, but I feel like the strategy of the offense is also just, we keep saying, like, I keep hearing McDermott and the offensive coordinator say, well, we're looking to evolve every year. No, I feel like they're like, they just keep like devolving. Like, they took away the best thing that they did last year, I thought, which was throw the ball to the running backs. And now we don't throw the ball to the running backs anymore? Yeah, we did a little bit more yesterday. Okay, wasn't effective. So I think they do not have any belief in their personnel anymore. And I think Josh is frustrated, obvious. I cannot stand anymore. I love Josh Allen. You're talking to the biggest Josh Allen fan and Buffalo supporter. I love him. But I can't watch him on the TV anymore. Just look dejected. He's got that look in his eyes where he just, it feels like he's lost any killer instinct he ever had. I'm sorry. So, go Bills. I hope we turn it around. But if this team comes out like they did yesterday against the Bucks next week, they're going to get embarrassed. Thanks, Al.
Thanks a lot for the phone call. We had the follow-up from Calf. I like it. Calf, it's the way you are talking to callers with valid concerns. You have shut down multiple callers. No, I have not. One guy said, I said, hey, can you take a breath and I want to explain something to you? And he said, yes. And I did. And he goes, oh, stop it. Otherwise, everybody's talked today, dude. I don't know what show you're listening to. I don't know if you're calling or tweeting me about a different show or something. Maybe you're listening to a past show. I don't know. Let's go to Alex. Alex, what's up, man?
Good morning, Sal. I want to give kudos to that previous caller, man. He hit it on the head.
Yeah.
We need to support each other. But I'm a diehard Bills fan and a diehard Yankee fan and a diehard Knicks fan. I'm here in New York City. And I'm starting to see some parallels, you know, where the Yankees and the Bills, and it's kind of getting unfortunate. I know you're a Yankee fan, and maybe we could talk about it for a second. We have Aaron Judge, Aaron Boone, Josh Allen, Sean McDermott. A regime, you know, we had the GM has been there for almost in perpetuity in New York. And at some point, you know, we got rid of Joe Torre, Joe Girardi. I'm not trying to make this a Yankee call, but there's at some point where, like your children, they just don't listen to you. They start tuning you out. And when I see a team not prepared to beat the 2-7 Dolphins in which you've owned, a team that just fired their GM, got rid of one of the best defensive players, they don't have Tyreek Hill. There is no reason on earth that we should have lost to the Dolphins, but any given Sunday. At what point does Josh Allen stop listening to McDermott because he's heard it for 9-10 years his whole career? You know, even Derek Jeter had a new head coach at some point in a Hall of Famer. So, you know, at what point, we're going to pick Josh Allen over Sean McDermott every day. And at this point, I think we're at that point where we might have to make that decision and start looking for another voice to lead this team.
Okay, well, I mean, that decision isn't coming today or tomorrow. And at the end of the year, there's those decisions are always on the table, I would guess. You know what I mean? In a manner of speaking, I guess, if I say on the table, at least discussed, right? Evaluation of the entire organization. You know, we'll see. I don't know. I don't think that's a – I know people are mad and frustrated and they say, like, hey, I want this guy fired or that guy fired. And again, outside of they did make a coordinator change a couple of years ago in November, you're not going to see that happen at the top of the organization here right now. And I know your call there isn't saying that, and I get it, and thank you for the call, and I appreciate that. But you know, as you evaluate things, you want to let things settle and kind of say, I don't think it has to be a decision between Sean McDermott and Josh Allen, as you say. But there's always an evaluation of everything and everybody, and Josh Allen ain't going nowhere, to your point. That's right. Let's go to Luke in New Mexico. Hi, Luke.
Hey, Sal. Great to talk with you. I appreciate everything you do for the Bills organization. And my point was the extensions in the offseason with, like, defensive side.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, you know, we can't predict, like, injuries and that sort. But, like, Terrell Bernard and those type of guys just aren't living up to it, you know? It's kind of disappointing in a certain sense. I hate the fact we don't put those resources into the offense. I'd really like to see that with Josh Allen, you know, hitting 30 soon. It would mean a lot, you know, for the fan base to give him that appreciation, at least, you know.
I don't disagree. I think what you want is resources into the weapons for Josh Allen because Luke, they have paid their two tackles and they paid their running back.
Sure. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like when people say resources into the offense, they used a first round pick on Dalton Kincaid, a second round pick on Keon Coleman. They paid big money. I mean, heck, they're paying big money for a backup tight end, right? We can talk about that, you know, and you could say that's a bad choice, but they paid their left tackle, they paid their right tackle, they paid their running back. So they are putting resources into the offense. I think what you want to say, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, I think trying to say is maybe resources into the people that can help the quarterback when he drops back to pass.
Sure.
Right? You know what I mean?
Solid points, man.
Drafting.
Yeah, we can't call. You know, Coleman's gonna kind of play the way he was, but no one really thought he was gonna be great anyways from the start. You know, looking at draft experts, but Ladd McConkey, those type of guys were sitting there, and it's kind of frustrating to see. You know, Allen could really use a guy like that right now. Looking back, of course, I hope this second half of Allen's career, we give someone. We put a little more effort into giving him the more resources other than the defensive side, which hasn't really lived up to, the salary.
Yeah, well, thank you. Look, I appreciate the phone call. We'll get to Tony in Jamestown who's up next. Hi, Tony. You're on WGR.
How you doing? Good. Just two things. One, Jordan Hancock situation. Jordan Poyer has obviously been horrendous in pass coverage and missing a bunch of tackles. Why Jordan Hancock isn't playing is beyond me. You can see the youth of the team with Harrison, Bishop. Hancock might add a bit of a playmaker back there, and McDermott always talks about playmakers. And the second thing is, what is his fascination with all these old guys? White, Bernard, or not Bernard, but Milano and Poyer. I think McDermott has some weird fascination about the playbook and guys knowing it, but the offense is the offense. I think we'll be fine. We have Josh Allen. I think the defense is more concerning to me because we just act like they didn't run for 200 yards on us yesterday. And we got these same old guys making these same old plays from 2020. And we expect them to be better at the age of 35. And Hancock is sitting there as a playmaker. Why not throw Hancock in there? Thank you.
Well, he is in there. He's getting more time, and I understand. I will say this, though, Tony. I think having Jordan Poyer there has helped the secondary, and I don't have a problem with the secondary yesterday, so I don't think that's an issue right now. I mean, the secondary, yeah, they gave up a play. Max Harrison got beat one-on-one. That's a Max Harrison getting beat issue. I don't think the secondary was that bad, but I will agree with you that Jordan Poyer is definitely not the player he used to be, right? And you'd love to see more of a transition to Hancock. And the reason I would say is he is young, and you worry about him getting beat at this point, you probably say, hey, you're going to get beat, you're going to get beat. Keep developing, getting those reps, nothing wrong with that. So, hey, I'm with you. I don't disagree. I'm just trying to give you the reason why and say like what they probably think. Now, the other part of it is, why do you bring back these guys? You hit the nail on the head. I mean, when you're in the middle of a season, it's tough to just bring people in from the outside who have no idea how you operate. It just is. And it takes you a while to get up to speed. You need somebody in now to immediately fill. That's where Kingsley Jonathan comes in at defensive end from last week. That's where Jordan Poyer comes in at safety beginning of the year. Whatever. I'm not saying it's always the greatest, right, most incredible approach, but you have to understand how the league works. It's not just in Buffalo when those things happen. With the Chiefs, Sky Moore, right? Sky Moore comes back to the Chiefs a couple years ago. Same thing. Like little things like that. Like every team kind of has those guys. You have the Bills have leaned into it more. There's no doubt. Joe in Canandaigua. Let's get to Joe. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Sal. Great show as always. Couple quick points. Going back to a previous caller who asked the difference between the Patriots passing game and the Bills, I think it's fairly simple. Josh McDaniel. He's an awesome offensive coordinator. He's won multiple Super Bowls. Just imagine him being on the Bills staff. Not that that's ever going to happen, but I think that's the primary difference. My other point is Dawson Knox. I had heard, and I'd like you to confirm or deny this, is that he is the second largest cap hit on the team either this year or next year. Is that accurate?
It's got to be close. If not, I'll look it up, but I think you're probably right because one of the reasons is they did sign him to an extension a couple years ago, but part of the reason is they've moved the money down the road and now you're paying for that. And that's why when people say the salary cap isn't real, well, it is, and you have to pay for it at a certain point, but that's part of the reason that's happened, Joe.
With the development of Hawes, I don't see any need for Dawson Knox, especially at his price tag. But great show as always. Thanks a million. And I listen to WGR morning, noon, and night. Thank you.
You got it, Joe. in Canandaigua. Thank you very much. JD is out in Hamburg. What's up, JD?
Hey, Sal, love the show. I just want to say that, you know, if this was a team on the rise and we were 6-3 like it was 6 years ago or something, I'd be very happy. But I think Bills fans today just wake up to the realization that your expectations are really shattered. You know, five of the last 10 teams to play in the last five Super Bowls have been teams that finish first in the conference and get the bye. And this is, to me, Sal, this is, I don't like what I'm seeing out of Allen, but this, what's happening now is very much on Brandon Bean. This whole thing with everybody eats, we needed speed at receiver. If you watch the All 22, there's guys who can't get open, and this is just not what we need with our expectations being what they are. So I put this on Bean for being unable to bust a move and maybe have to offer more than he thought he was going to have to offer or whatever. But there's just a couple key spots here where they're not really going to meet their expectations. And then I'll just hang up with this. James Cook in the running game being 50% of the offense, that's actually a blessing. And that's some of the best news Josh Allen could ever get. But setting that aside, I just want to say I think our expectations are kind of shattered, and unfortunately, it's always next year around here.
Well, yeah, there's always next week, though. Let's remember, you could have a lot different feeling. Next 10 days, right, you get a game on Sunday, a game on Thursday. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say the Bills are going to go beat both teams, but because the way they looked yesterday, they lost to a pretty poor team. If they were to beat the Bucs and then turn right around and beat the Texans, you'd be feeling a lot different about everything at 8-3, right? But they got to go out and do that. And right now, I agree. Expectations, confidence right now is at a low point of this season. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll get to your extra point from the sidelines. Sit down, sit up, stand down. Hey, buddy. And more of your phone calls on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Okay, back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, Sal Capaccio with you on a Buffalo Football Monday. Let's get to our extra point from the sidelines, a deeper look at something that happened in the game from the sidelines. Brought to you by Catholic Health, the right way to care. I mean, the takeover of South Florida was in a full effect. And I say this, and I said this against Atlanta, and against Carolina, but against Atlanta mostly because of they lost. Man, when you are there in that stadium and you see those Bills fans jacked up to see their team, and some people, that's the only chance they get. I know a lot of you went down to South Florida. A lot of people did. They travel. They're from Buffalo. Some people just, Bills play somewhere in their region, so they go see them, whatever it is. And they only get a chance like that on the road. And you want them to just come away really loving the performance. And it wasn't yesterday. But man, Bills Mafia, as always, showing out in South Florida. Loved it. Great to see you. So many of you had a great time at the annual Russ Salvatore party at the Blue Martini the night before. Meeting a lot of you, saying hi. So thank you. But the sideline view of the red, white, and blue, as always at Miami, pretty amazing. And it was again yesterday. Let's get to Frank in North Tonawanda. Hi, Frank.
Oh, hey, Sal. Nice to speak to you today, buddy. And just want to say, number one, I really like your show because you're always upbeat. And I know today is a tough day because we have a lot of expectations, you know, with the schedule and all that stuff. But, you know, a reminder, Atlanta cleaned our clocks. We couldn't tackle anybody. It looked like doom and gloom. We go to Carolina and shut down their running game, which, yeah, it's Carolina, big deal. But then we play Kansas City, and Josh goes like, what, 23 or 26 or something like that? And we basically embarrass Steve Spagnuolo. You know, maybe not embarrassed, but, you know, we handled them well. And then we, you know, we came up flat, and a division rival slapped us in the mouth. And I just think that's the NFL, and I look forward to us whipping Tampa. And Sal, have a great day, buddy.
Yeah, you got it, man. I love the optimism. I love the energy. I love the upbeat attitude. It is the sun came up today, and you have a game on Sunday, right? I mean, that happens. And that can't happen. I agree with you. It is the NFL. I think, though, that, you know, I'm the guy. I'm always the one who says every game has its own DNA, right? I love that. Every game has its own DNA. I love saying it to you because so many of you say it to me, and I've said it over the years. What does that mean? Every game has its own DNA. It means when someone says to me, you can't play like that when they win. You can't play like that against that team, or you're going to lose. I'm like, well, they didn't play that team. You have a different game plan against every team. And then something happens in a game that's different than the next game you play or the last game you play. But that said, there are concerns that have continually popped up. This isn't a one game concern about wide receiver, passing game, all that. And that's where I think the frustration comes from fans who go, I just don't know what the answer is because it's been happening, right? Every game does have its own DNA. You didn't play the Dolphins last week. You played the Chiefs and you had a great game plan. You played the way you wanted to play and you controlled the game and you won. And this week you didn't play the Chiefs, you played the Dolphins. And you didn't have a great game plan. And they played harder than you, from what players said. And you gave the ball away and you lost. There are things you take away from each game that you like and you don't like. It's never as bad as it looks, never as good as it looks. But you pick up the pieces, you go back on Monday, you figure it out for the next week, and that's where they are today. Let's go to Eric in Virginia. Hi, Eric.
Hey, Sal. How you doing? I had a couple of points to make. First, I'll start with the question that I called about, which was the salary cap. And I know that we've kind of been behind the eight ball the last couple of years, you know, having to move salaries into bonuses and kicking the can down the road. And obviously now we're, trapped. We're painting ourselves in the corner with the salary cap. My question is, how long we're going to be in this cap jail with the Von Miller deal and all these other, the Taron Johnsons and the Josh Allen deals that we've kind of, converted to bonuses to free up cap space?
Well, I think let me look at the Von deal. That might be done. I think that was done. You don't have to worry about that. But your overall point is to answer your question, as long as you have Josh Allen making the money he's making, and then obviously some guys around the roster like Deion and Spencer Brown you sign and some extensions, but especially Josh, you're going to be in it for a while. That's what happens when you pay your franchise quarterback. Taron Johnson's deal, whatever. You can point to a lot of these deals. To answer your overall question, though, it's going to be a while. I mean, you're going to have to keep doing what you've been doing, moving money down the road, cutting guys. But here's what we don't know, Eric, which is, what do they do at the end of the year? Remember the one year they got rid of, moved on from, Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, Tre'Davious White, Gabe Davis, Stephon Diggs, all in the same year, right? Those things opened up cap space for the following year. And you could have a year like that again where you get more money. But right now, they are actually over the cap for next year as it is.
That's good news. Okay, thank
you. You got it. Yeah, you got it. So, hate to break that to you, but that's the way it goes. What else we got? I think we've kind of taken care of everything. We got sit up, stand down, hey buddy, coming your way. Man, good calls today. And it's another, frustrating day after a loss to a team you shouldn't have lost to. Atlanta was the same way. Speaking of Atlanta, let's take a look around the league, Joe, shall we? Let's take a look and tell everybody what happened yesterday in the NFL. Shout out to my wife, Yana, by the way, who told me yesterday, I'm in Miami and getting ready for the game, and she texts me. She goes, hey, this game is going on in Berlin. And I said in the air, people know my wife is from Germany originally, and she said, did you know? And I did not know this, so shout out to my very smart wife, who said, it's being played on the anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall. November 9th, 1989.
That's cool.
And they played this game in Berlin on November 9th, 2025. Good nugget, right? I don't know if the NFL planned that or not. I really don't know. I'd have to find out from somebody.
I would take credit for planning it.
They knew they were going to play in Berlin a couple years ago, and then they made it this date, so who knows? I'm not really sure, but either way, Colts win in overtime. This was a back-and-forth affair, and the Falcons tied it up. Colts tied it up, I think, late, and then they went to overtime. They won 31-25, so the Colts move to 9-2. I'm sorry. Are they 9? 8-2 on the season. 8-2 on the season. How about Jonathan Taylor? More on him in a minute, but, 244 yards rushing. 8-2. Colts, they are top of the AFC in the one seed. Who can figure out the Carolina Panthers? Bills crush them, they go to Green Bay and win, and then they lose to the Saints. I've been saying all year, the Saints are actually better than people think, but they got to win these low-volume games, and they did in this one. 17-7, holding Bryce Young to 124 yards passing, and Rico Dowdle to 53 yards rushing. Tyler Shook, 282 and two touchdowns. Maybe they find a bit of a quarterback there. They go to 2-8 on the year. 5-5 are the Panthers. Giants, I didn't see the end of this game. Something happened at the end because, oh yeah, fourth quarter collapse. It looks like they were up 20-10 in the fourth quarter with 4 minutes left. And because I saw online people going, that was a horrendous collapse, and I don't know how Dable survives. Like, somebody was saying that.
Yeah.
What happened?
I don't remember because we were watching the Bills game, but it just was like a normal Giants loss this season. They're up ahead, and then they collapse again. That's like a normal thing for them at this point.
So yeah.
Dable's job is definitely in question, I would say.
Yeah, so Jackson Dart makes NFL history where he ran for a touchdown in 5 straight games. He's first quarterback to ever do that, by the way, I believe, right? That's what I read. Mm-hmm. 6 carries, 66 yards. He threw for 242 and no touchdowns. He did score 2 on the ground. Didn't matter. The Bears, they have the same record as the Bills. 24-20 they win. They're 6-3. Caleb Williams throws for 220 yards and a touchdown. You want to talk about a collapse, folks? The Jacksonville Jaguars collapsed.
That was bad.
They were up 29-10 in the fourth quarter to Davis Mills.
Legacy game for Davis Mills coming back.
292. A few years ago, I said, I like Davis Mills. I actually thought I liked what I saw from him and some mop-up duty or some times when he played. And I really liked him, but you know they got C.J. Stroud. He looked great his rookie year, not as much. Now he's in concussion protocol. Davis Mills comes in, 292, 2 touchdowns, an interception. They wind up beating the Jacksonville Jaguars 36-29. They score 26 points in the fourth quarter. Woo. Jags 5-4, Texans 4-5. Baltimore Ravens, they were down. They had to come back. Lower scoring game here, but Lamar Jackson throws for 176 yards and a touchdown. Derrick Henry runs for only 75. Lamar contributes 36 on the ground. J.J. McCarthy, 248 yards passing for the Vikings in a losing effort. They fall to 4-5 after a big win last week. But now the Ravens, they're at 4-5, and suddenly the favorites to win the AFC North because of what happened last night, which I'll get to in a minute, between the Steelers and the Jags. Steelers and Chargers, excuse me. Let's get to, though, the Jets winning their second in a row. Justin Fields only 6-11 for 54 yards and a touchdown, and they win over the Browns 27-20. How does that happen? I'll tell you how it happens. Because the Cleveland Browns, oh, you know what? They didn't turn the ball over. They couldn't get they had four. Oh my God. I'm actually looking. I looked at the box score earlier and I must have mistaken, but right now I'm looking at it. The Jets averaged 3.6 yards a play to the Browns 4.0, and the Jets won 27-20. How are the touchdowns? Njoku. Oh, a kickoff return gets you there. That's a big one. Okay, Breece Hall catches one from the backfield for a touchdown.
Yeah, they did what, have a
wait,
big
wait, wait, wait,
return.
Wait, wait. Breece Hall caught a 42-yard touchdown pass, and Justin Fields had 54 overall.
Yeah.
So 12 yards outside of that.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Right?
Yep.
Dylan Gabriel, 167 yards and 2 touchdowns. The numbers look good, but I'm reading a lot online from Browns people like, yeah, that was not good.
Yeah, we were just the red zone clips we would see. Nothing looked fantastic from Dylan Gabriel whatsoever. I'm surprised. I mean, it seems like the organization will never play Shedeur Sanders, but I'm surprised he hasn't gotten a look yet.
Yeah, I know. All right. Let me get to 2-1 Jets, 2-7 Browns. Bills play both of them, by the way. Jets go to New England on Thursday night.
I don't know how interesting that could be. I get it's a divisional game, but hoping the Jets can just pull some voodoo magic out of anywhere and make a stand against New England, but it'll never happen. But
all right. Patriots 28-23 over the Bucks. Tough to see if you're a Bills fan. 147 yards for Travion Henderson. 270 for Drake May. He's now the leader, maybe, in the MVP race in the betting?
I think so.
They came back and won. They were down a little bit. They came back. Bucks came back. Didn't matter. Baker Mayfield and company come here next week on the heels of 273 and 3 touchdowns, but a loss. They fall to 6-3. Same record as the Bills. Seattle just boat races Arizona.
Yeah, they, right out of the gate, annihilated them. That game was out of reach within the first quarter. It was bad. It was really bad for Arizona.
Yeah, for sure. So in this game, it was Sam Darnold, 178 yards. He didn't have to do much, though. The run game got going with Charbonneau and Walker.
Big defensive plays, too. There's
a
fumble recovery, I want to say. Yep. Like, all of that in there, too. So they absolutely, every aspect of their game just annihilated the Cardinals.
Cardinals at 3-6. 42-26, the Rams beat the 49ers 7-2 now, along with Seattle atop the NFC West. 49ers fall to 6-4. Matt Stafford, another four touchdown passes, by the way. Pretty impressive performance. Detroit, they score 44. They beat the Commanders 44-22. Behind Jared Goff's three TD passes and 320 passing. Jahmyr Gibbs, 142 yards rushing. 6-3, Detroit 3-7. Washington, late last night. Boy, the Steelers' offense was not good. Couldn't get off the mat early on. Gave up a safety. 221 total yards. Chargers, 314. Herbert, 220 passing. Rodgers, 161. The Chargers win. The final score, 7-3. L.A., 5-4 Pittsburgh, who now find themselves as the underdogs, basically, to win the division there. All right, we'll take a timeout. Sit up, stand down. Hey, buddy, on the way on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. All right, real quick, sit up, stand down. Hey, buddy, let's sit up on Jonathan Taylor maybe winning the MVP. I think he's got to be in the race now, right? You got to be considering a running back. I mean, consider this guy now. He's got to. Another great performance from him yesterday, no doubt. Running back for MVP, Jonathan Taylor. I mean, hey, James Cook's having a great year too, but Jonathan Taylor's odds have gone to a spot where I see that. All right, let's stand down on Trevor Lawrence, all the hype that came with him. This guy, I mean, against Davis Mills yesterday, I know it's not his fault, but why is he not elevating this Jaguars team the way we thought that he would or should? Let's get to Hey Buddy and end out the show.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
Hey, buddy. Dudes, you know this dude?
What's up, dude?
Hey, buddy.
Bunny, sit down.
Who's my buddy this week?
I'm your buddy, guy! He's your guy, friend! I'm your friend, buddy!
On WGR.
Blue, you're my boy!
Sports Radio 550.
Real simple today. Tomorrow's Veterans Day. My buddy, just want to say thank you to everybody who has served this country. As a son of a veteran, I am not a veteran. I did not serve. I have many family members who have. I know the sacrifices that go along with having a service member, person in the family, friends. But I do this because of what you do. Thank you very much. Have a great, great rest of your day today. And of course, please spend some time to thank and remember and, you know, honor our veterans tomorrow and every day.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.